All right. Hello. Welcome. It is Jessica Stewart. It's Monday, April 11th, 2016, and this is the last Coach the Coach Practicum 3. This is Class 4, and this is the best group, obviously, which is Group D. And anybody who's listening to the recording that's outside of Group D, we're still the best group. Sorry, I just can't soften it. And so today we're going to be talking, really what I want to do today is kind of check in with all of the different Square 2 and Square 3 tools that we learned. I'd like to do one session around, at least one demo session, not demo, but coaching session around wildly improbable goals so you guys can start to understand how you might use them. It's very different because it's not like a straight up tool per se, but really I think of a marriage of different tools. So the find a feeling tool, which is essentially how do you want to feel? I know, complicated. And then bringing that in with turtle steps pretty prominently. Some thought work might creep in there too. I think of it as more like Square 3 thought work where you might actually spend some time creating evidence. And you might also use it in with the one of my favorite tools, mostly because it's so bawdy, which is whizzing on the electric fence, which are just some prompts and questions that you can use to help expand the imagination. So we're going to talk about WIGS, but first I want to check in and see how you guys are doing, how it went working with the Living Space tool, what you learned, what questions you might have, and if anybody has a joke, you're welcome to tell it as long as it offends me. No, just kidding. defend no one, excuse me. So what's going on in your world? I heard a big sigh.
But I can start. This is Laurel again.
Okay, so Laurel and then someone else after that. Yes.
My practices with the Living Space tool, I tend to get really lost in the middle. It's like I can help someone open up their living space, and the same thing actually is happening in the metaphor tool. Like I open it up to their life, and then it's like I get to this point where I'm not sure whether to keep following them in the big questions or bring them back to the living space tool. And I've tried it like a couple different ways, like constantly bringing the person back to the living space, grounding them there. And it felt very repetitive to me, but it didn't feel that way to the client. And then I've tried it in another way where I just like keep following them out. And I feel like I get lost. And I think part of it is like I'm learning as I'm coaching that I'm so empathetic. Like I just follow people wherever they're going and I get lost eventually. And I'm like, what were we doing? So that's the problem I'm having with the tool. It ends up feeling very funky and clunky and weird.
And chunky, did you say?
Yeah, all that rhyme. Yeah.
Okay. And I realized I forgot to do my check-in. So let me do that. But I'm going to hold that for a moment, do my check-in. Sorry, I got so excited about talking about my interfaith school. So let's hold that for a second, Laurel, and we'll come right back to it. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
My apologies. So let's do our quick check-in, one-word check-in. Laurel, why don't you tell me your word since I know you're here. One word or sound.
Spunky.
Yeah, keep the ramen going. Rachel.
Kind of funky.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you being funky. I'm laughing that you guys are rhyming. Okay, well, hopefully we can pull you out of your funk or we can support you whilst you are in it. Mary, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. My gosh.
Hi, welcome. So what we do is we like to do a one-word or sound check-in, just how you're doing in this moment right now.
Oh, gosh. Carnage is my
carnage.
Word.
All right. Well, we can support funky and we can support carnage.
Excellent.
Good. Carrie, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Irritated.
Ooh, yeah, we can hold space for that. Kathleen.
Yes, I'm going to go with comforted because I couldn't think of anything to rhyme with spunky and funky.
Comfy. That's almost rhyming. Linda.
Inspired, to my surprise.
Tiffany.
I'm a little overwhelmed today.
Okay, I'll take a deep breath. And Kathy.
Hi. I'm feeling motivated today for a Monday.
I'm feeling high, but I'll take motivated. Nikki.
Hi, I am feeling a little lazy.
Lazy, crazy, fazy. I don't know. Electra.
Resolute.
Excellent. Meg.
Refreshed. I went to the beach yesterday.
Nice. And Kristen, who sent me amazing pictures of us that were at the meet and greet. Thank you so much. I just need to reply to you. Wait, Kristen, are you there? Oh, my gosh, she's not on the line. She didn't come because I didn't reply to her email. I'm making a story. Could be true. Who knows? We'll find out. Hopefully she'll join us later. All right. So let's go back to Laurel's question. Apologies for that. I got so excited about my ordination, I just lost my mind for a moment. Just that once, though. It's never happened before. So empathy is really an interesting thing. So Martha's partner, Karen, I don't know if you've ever heard about Karen, but Karen was a professor at Arizona State University for many years, and her specialty, her sort of her domain of expertise is around empathy, sympathy, and pity, and kind of differentiating the three and understanding them. And one of the things that can happen to coaches, especially coaches who have a really high identification with empathy, is that we can actually begin to become sorry, Electra, I just had to mute you for a moment because there was some noise. But what can happen is we can become what she would call a sympathetic sponge. And that's where we move beyond empathy, which is I can feel what you're feeling, into it actually becoming a blind spot for us, overwhelming us to the point where we kind of lose our sense of self within a session. Because empathy, let's just, as a reminder, we can feel and appreciate how somebody else is feeling. It doesn't mean we agree with them, though. And I think that's a big difference is, we can have empathy for someone and we can feel what they're feeling, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's our experience and that we agree and appreciate it to the point where we lose ourselves into that session. And so what I'm hearing a little bit with you, Laurel, might be that you're becoming a little bit of that sympathetic sponge, which is you're taking on the issue to the point where you're losing yourself in the session and kind of losing your tether to your own truth. Tell me where I'm wrong, of course.
No, that's it. I end up feeling, feeling like blown around, like with their thoughts.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's a very clear feeling, and I get to that point where I'm like, what do I do now? Do I keep following this, or do I do something else? Like how long? I guess the question is, is it okay that I'm doing that? Are they getting a benefit from blowing around? Or will it benefit us both if, I'm answering my own question here.
Yeah, I figured you would. So here's my recommendation when you get to that place is chances are that you are getting so enmeshed with their emotional state and their thought process. It's a little bit, I think it was just last week, where if I start to feel a little bit untethered or feel like I'm going around in circles or I start feeling anxiety or anxiousness, I think it was like when Linda was coaching Electra, what we start to notice is we might be getting lost in their story, and it's time for us to get perspective and to just step back a moment And the way I do that is very simple, is sometimes I feel it. So first I feel, I notice that I'm feeling that way, and then I'll just kind of check in with, why am I feeling that way? And it might be that I'm very TAO and saying, you know, I'm noticing that I feel like we're going around in circles. How are you feeling right now in your body? What are you noticing in your body? And it's a good chance for you to both answer that question. Not you, you don't say it out loud to them, but it's a good chance for you.
Yeah.
And, what, and they'll be like, you know, I don't think I'm even in my body. That's an answer sometimes. Hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, I'm feeling a really gripping sensation in my chest. All right, so let's do some breaths. Let's come back to the body. And what that does is it gives me space to kind of, you know, collect myself. I'll take a, you know, a very simple prompt and kind of get back into the session. It might be summarizing what I've learned so far. So you've shared that you want your space to feel this, this, and this, and right now the space is feeling this, this, and this. So what would it take for you to bring those two closer together? How can you create? What's a small step? Right, do you see what I'm saying? It's like just give yourself enough space that you can reground yourself in the session.
Okay.
Do you have a specific example that maybe we could talk about, or is it just too general?
Well, sure. Like I was coaching another cadet about office space, her office space that was sort of tucked in a corner of her house. And, we sort of opened it up to one stage, which was the fact that all the clutter ends up in her corner, but it's all her clutter. So it's like we opened it up to a stage of she wishes that she didn't have so much clutter. And then it began to open up to another place of I'm the one in the whole family that takes care of everybody else. And then it started to go to an even deeper, bigger place. And then she started sort of going in between the three stories, the three levels, the three layers. Mm-hmm. And then it was, I mean, her mind was sort of like dropping from layer to layer. And I just was like, what's the benefit now? Like, do I keep following? Is there another layer? Is there another level we're going to get to? Or is this feeling that I'm feeling a clear point that we need to ground and go back to the living space?
Yeah, you know what I felt the moment you said that was mental clutter, is that there's a bunch of stories that she had that she might be hoarding, if you will, that she's keeping, that keep her stuck in this place of clutter. And so kind of like where we went with Electra last week was we kind of got to a point where we needed to clear out some of the mental clutter in order to get more progress. And as she shared, and thank you, Electra, for your update, as she shared in her update, she found there was, she would kind of vacillate between the story and then the very practical task at hand. And so it's very common for that to happen. You know, like she uncovered some additional beliefs and things. And it's very common. Our job as coaches is to follow our clients and meet them where they are, but also not to the point where we can't even figure out where we are in the session. And so what I'm guessing is you got lost in her mental clutter.
Yeah.
You got lost in the corner of her space.
Yeah.
Buried deep in clutter, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so at that point, it might be a matter of starting to clean some of that mental clutter out and taking each thought and being like, I'm just going to put this story over here. We're going to put it on the shelf, the virtual shelf, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. But, you know, whatever you need to get yourself out of the corner of the room with her mental clutter. Does that make sense, Laurel?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
It's pretty common to get lost. I mean, because it is. It's a representation of her interior space. And so you might even ask yourself, I'm feeling pretty overwhelmed here with story. How is this a reflection or a parallel or a metaphor for her experience? And can I show her because you can also just tell her. It's like, here's my hunch. Is all that clutter in the corner? That's where you keep your stories.
Hmm.
Ooh, that was good. I felt that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The chill of truth.
I know. I long to be that kind of coach that can say things like that, and they can just drop like that. Boom.
Oh. Well, you will be. Not there trust yet. Me, it took me a long time. But so that's part of the gift you give yourself is like noticing and tracking how you feel in your interior, so that you can then bring it back around, and ground her back into her own body, her own space. And that you can begin, because part of what we're doing is we're drawing parallels. That's the whole point of the metaphor, is to use the metaphor to show and illustrate. And that one just happens to be very particular to the living space.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great question. What other questions? Some of you are muted, so you have to hit 4-star. What other questions do you guys have? Nikki, Electra, and Carrie are the ones who are muted, just so you know. Linda, how was following back up with Electra? And Electra, you're welcome to jump in too. How was it kind of wrapping that session up without the prying eyes of me and others?
it was interesting and helpful. What we ended up discussing, and then sort of like I did find that I followed my intuition. We were Electra had finished her part of her homework by then, and she'd finished the book, and I haven't read it yet. So, and I asked her to, kind of what in the book kind of stood out for her or was something she hadn't thought about before. And so she was describing, different things that had, made an impression on her, or just what she had learned from it. And that conversation ended up driving, when we were talking about her office space, I just ended up kind of, just coming up with an idea about, walking through her house. We were talking about how the book recommends that you slap objects to wake them up, and talking about, what that might sort of mean metaphorically, and who's really being woken up in that process. But then it just sort of came out. Well, so we walked through, I asked her to, talk about, what do you really want in this space? Like, what is, in this office space, what do you really want? What do you envision? And then I took as good notes as I could, and then sent that back to her. And then it just occurred to me to suggest, well, what if you take this list of qualities? Some were kind of specific, but some really were just about the space being hers and just kind of a quality, a feeling. And so then I suggested, well, what about taking that list and walking through your house and sort of mentally or even physically, if you want, like slap the spaces in your house. and just as a, and I was kind of like, maybe this is a square two tool, maybe three, maybe I don't know, but it was just the idea
object.
Of like, yeah. And just, with the idea of like slapping it metaphorically might allow certain places or spaces to maybe show up in a new way or I wasn't really sure what would happen, but it just felt like kind of a creative way to play with, instead of, well, my office needs to be here and it needs to be this way and I, it has to be this way and this is the only space it can be in, and, to just kind of get unstuck from some of those assumptions. So, Electra wrote up how that went for her. And so anyway, it was good. It was helpful.
Cool. Thank you. And Electra, how was it for you?
It was good. I thought, Linda did feed me back a nice directive, which was good for me, as as sort of additional homework because it, you know, it gave me, it forced me to really do it like in a physical way, mm-hmm. which, you know, combined the physical with mental note-taking somehow in myself, which was handy when you're in a physical space because I think you could do it in your head, but it is easier if you're feeling story-ish to physically do it. I think it breaks you of the story that you keep telling yourself.
I have a hunch it breaks you of the story in particular because you are so intellectual and you're such a deep thinker that getting you back into your body and physically doing something probably breaks you of some of the mental patterns that you might get into. I'm telling
you
I'm wrong, of course. But
yeah, no, I think that could be true that I, you know, I do tend to be a little in my head. And so when I have to physically walk around and take a look at something spatially, it does force me into my body because, you know, you can partially be in your head and partially be in your body, but when you're walking around, slapping things, even metaphorically, it just changes your, or, you know, you just changes your orientation and that is useful for, you know, home. I don't know, it'd be hard to do in a session, but it's useful, as a homework assignment. And I think what it really did for me actually, cause you know, it has a residue effect. This kind of thing doesn't just happen one time in one place. Residue was that I started to treat it like more of a puzzle than it was. You know, I was like, okay, so if we really come to terms with this, you know, and my whining is about one thing or my story is about this thing,
right?
You know, it opens that space up for puzzle solving and gets you a little motivated to address things that you sort of long felt were frustrations.
Cool. Yeah, good. Yeah, I love that you found something that helps kind of break you out of your mental reverie and wakes you up to the actual space around you, which I think very much is that slapping of things. It's kind of waking you up as well as waking up the energy you have around those objects. So wonderful. Good. So keep letting us, you know, keep checking in. Let us know how that space evolves and what it wants to become and how you continue to kind of separate from the story and get it to become, you know, a true reflection of that interior space that you want to create.
Well, and I would recommend, since it has come up several times now, anybody who does really end up needing to use this tool with a client that's in square 2, 3 and is ready to, you know, tackle things like metaphors and in space, because, you know, I think a lot of people do have issues around their clutter, and that is a real thing that many human beings suffer from.
Yep.
So it was useful to have that book, and that book is not very long. It's really a pretty short book. It's not hard to get through, and it's an interesting kind of metaphor unto itself with her quirky, weird little ways of doing things, you know. So
yeah, I agree.
Anybody who's curious should read it because it won't take them very long.
Yep. Thank you so much. Cool. Yeah, one day I came downstairs and my husband had taken every pair of shoes in the house and put them in the living room. And I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go. But it was really great. We ended up getting rid of, like, I can't even tell you how many pairs of shoes. A lot. Let's just say a lot. Let's just leave it there. So, good. Awesome. Any other questions or comments around the living space tool? All right. So today we're going to talk about finding a feeling and wigs. And finding a feeling is a very simple tool. I think you actually read it for last week, but I think it fits in really well with wigs and turtle steps as well. So essentially, finding a feeling is right from that steering by starlight, and it's understanding what it is that people want to create in their life, and then how will it make them feel, or how do they believe it will make them feel when they've attained it, or obtained it or created it, whatever it might be. And it's such a simple tool, but you'll find that it becomes one of the most important and valuable tools that you'll use in conjunction with any dreaming and scheming that you do. It's always such an interesting, I think it's such an interesting way to bring people back home to themselves, to their dreams, to their aspirations, because it's, especially for me, I've had a lot of clients who are, get very attached to what they believe will make them happy and what that looks like. And one of the things that I'm finding more and more as I do this work is that the less attached I get to form and the more open I am to feeling, the more I allow the universe to kind of delight and surprise me. And what I mean is, like, sometimes the solution or the dream or the aspiration comes in a form that we literally could never have imagined because we've never even thought about it that way. And I'll see that a lot when I'm working with entrepreneurs or solopreneurs who want to create, who want to work for themselves. I mean, a lot of coaches especially. And for many people, especially artists that I've worked with, it never even occurred to them that they didn't have to be a starving artist, that they didn't have to buy into this this idea that making money with their art had to involve poverty and suffering. And so one of the things that we can do is that if we focus on the feeling, we don't get attached to form in a way that actually limits us. And that's why we do it with the living space tool, because what wants to actually emerge in a living space is much more closely aligned with our essential self than what our social self thinks it should and will look like. Does that make sense so far? Any questions on that? Okay.
What is that clicking?
I don't hear
Sorry, I just had to unmute myself. Could you clarify that a little bit?
Sure. I don't hear clicking. Does anybody else hear clicking first?
Nope.
Do you still hear the clicking?
I do. This is Kathy. Nobody else hears it but me?
No, you might want to dial back in, Kathy. I'll try not to say anything too interesting. It shouldn't be a problem.
All right, I'll be back. Bye.
Okay. Was that Tiffany that was asking for clarification?
No. Carrie.
Oh, it was Carrie. Okay, sorry. I saw Tiffany's line light up. That's why I was confused. So what I mean by that is, is it okay if I tell you a personal story to help clarify?
Of course.
Okay. So one of the things that I really loved as a child that I really have missed as I've gotten older is holidays. In my family, my dad used to come over very early. My parents were separated. He would come over very early in the morning, and we would open up presents Christmas morning, and it would be this very, just a very homey, close, loving, open, you know, no awkwardness, because I was a kid, so I never even probably picked up on any of the potential awkwardness. But it just always felt very easy and fun and loving. And I really miss that because I'm not very close with my family anymore, just part of that empty elevator thing. And I was feeling pretty bad for myself not that long ago. And I just remember my dad would, when he would come over, he would make orange juice. He would hand squeeze orange juice with this contraption that he had. And we would, you know, just that feeling. I really missed the feeling of those mornings. And so it was a few weeks later, I was like, I want to feel that way again. And so I spent time really, what does that look like? Like, what does that feel like? What a feeling am I trying to get to? And the feeling was connected, spacious, easy, and loving. And so a few weeks later, I had a sleepover at a girlfriend's house. It was me, my friend Kate, my friend Erin, and my friend Sharon. And a good old-fashioned sleepover. We didn't do light as a feather, stiff as a board, but we did all the other good stuff. And it was the morning that we woke up. Kate, we all got together in the kitchen and started making breakfast. And it was so funny because I had felt so bad for myself. I was like, you know, wah, wah, feeling super sorry for myself. And then I go to this amazing evening, have a wonderful breakfast in the morning, and I found myself standing in the corner of the kitchen, literally squeezing orange juice. And every feeling that I wanted to create that I wrote down was manifested that morning. And it brought tears to my eyes because if I had gotten attached to form, it would have meant that I would have been really trying to create a family reunion and forcing each of us into some role that I felt would create and manifest that feeling again. But because I didn't get attached to form, I didn't say, well, I can only get this feeling from my father and my sister and my brother and me and, you know, us in the kitchen. I got really clear about how I wanted to feel. It didn't take very long for me to create it. And it opened my eyes up even further to the fact that I get to create that as often as I want, as long as I don't get attached to the form or the outcome of what that has to look like. Does that make sense, Carrie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it's a much more powerful way to play with coaching than for us to say, well, like for Electra, she could be like, no, my office has to look and feel this way, and it has to be in the garage, and it has to be this. But by a detaching from the form and focusing on the feeling, we create a circumstance that will match that particular feeling. And so that's what we do with wigs as well. That's what we do with really any sort of goal, intention, idea, is we begin moving our client toward the wig, but we also really focus on the feeling because we don't want to get super attached to the outcome because we might miss something better. It's sort of that mantra, this or something better. And so with wigs, it's the same way. As people, you know, some people are very clear about their wigs. So, for example, let me ask, where are they? So, Nikki, are you there? No.
Yes, I just unmuted.
Cool. So one of your wigs is buying the metal business my husband currently works for and making it a profitable empire that enables him to increasingly follow his heart and creating art and giving back to others. How attached are you to that particular wig? And what, like, do you know exactly what that looks like? Let me ask you that.
You know, this is really interesting that you're asking me this because what I was attached to before was leaving corporate America and making a super successful life coaching business for myself. And I was very concerned about that first and foremost. And I knew that my husband wanted to create a business, but I wanted him to honestly kind of keep it small so I could focus on my life coaching business. And we are now presented with an opportunity for him to buy the business he's currently working for. And I think it can be magically profitable and still offer us freedom and flexibility. And I've been fighting it a lot because I think it's going to take a little of the wind out of my sails for life coaching. But as I'm coaching him on developing this business, it is bringing in the profit and the flexibility and the freedom that I wanted to feel, but I never thought it would look like a metal business. I just thought it would be me life coaching, him doing art on the side. And then more and more, this metal business is bringing the feelings that I sought through my own business, just as me as an individual, but it's coming through means of this business opportunity that I would have never really thought of. And now the numbers are looking really good. And it's really the universe opening me up to this opportunity in a unique way that I had never thought of.
Well, I think it's you opening up to the possibility by not completely getting attached to form. And
yes.
So I think that's a very powerful example of what happens when we get attached to form. My very first, right when I first became a coach, I had a lot of that similar attachment because I left corporate America and my success had to look, not feel, but look.
Mm-hmm.
God, I didn't want to feel anything like it, but it had to be a six-figure income. It had to be this, that, and the other. You know, I was very attached because I didn't know there was more. I didn't know there were other possibilities. And it was amazing because when I kind of was like, all right, I'm gonna detach a little bit from the finance. I'm gonna give myself a little breathing space there. It was really amazing how much I didn't care that I didn't have name brand shampoo, or that I couldn't travel that year, except for maybe, you know, driving up to Maine or something. You know, all the things that I thought that I had to have suddenly became so much less more important, because the emphasis was that I wanted to feel free, just like you. I wanted to feel peaceful. I didn't want to feel that gnawing stress all the time. And I wanted to feel like sort of in love with my work. And when I focused on those three, it was amazing the trade-offs I was willing to make. Now, I make six figures now. Things are great. I'm very successful, wonderful, wonderful. But all of that came as a result of me following the feeling and not being attached to the form.
Yeah.
So I love that you shared that story, because financial freedom, I would even take off the financial part, because you will be surprised at what you're willing to go without when you feel the true taste of freedom and flexibility. It will be amazing to see how your business and his business evolve as you keep focusing on freedom and flexibility.
Definitely. Feeling good as I follow it more and more.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, seriously, I was like, I mean, I was a Sephora junkie. I only bought really expensive shit, like all the crazy stuff that I thought I needed to be happy. And I was like, ooh, there's some really good, you know, Maybelline, whatever, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And suddenly the freedom became much less about stuff and more about a really true sense of not being attached to stuff.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Thank you for that example. That's a great example. So we'll talk a little bit more about what that actually means for you in a few minutes. Kathy, did you come back on the line?
Yes. I'm back. That worked. So thanks.
Oh, good. Okay. I thought it might be because nobody else could hear it. So,
yeah.
So for you, talk to me a little bit about your wig. So one was becoming an interior decorator with my own line of goods. And the other was opening an after-school activity center for kids. So how attached are you to those two things? Like, does that feel like it? Like, which one of them is like a funk, like, yes, this is it?
Both of them, like my heart's racing.
Ooh.
So for a long, long, long time. But, you know, I've been a stay-at-home mom, and I've always tried to focus on staying where I always wanted to be, because one day my kids would be, you know, they'd get their wings, and then I could focus on the outside, what's tugging at me.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of there. So
cool.
It's a real transitional stage of my life, and, you know, that's why I got involved in, I don't really know why. It feels like I get led everywhere I go, and I just keep following the lead, and somehow it spins out, and I'm into my next, I call it appointment, but
I like that.
You know,
that feels very holy.
So,
appointment.
Yeah.
Appointment. So interesting.
So I'm
good. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just curious how. Well, actually, I'd love to have you be our client then, if you're up for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Because I want, because you gave two. That's actually really fun, because we can kind of do some feeling stuff around which feels more resonant right now. We can do, but whatever. I'm not attached to anything. Nikki, do you want to coach her, or do you want to listen, or because you volunteered as well?
I'm becoming unmuted again. I would love to coach.
Okay. So here's the thing about wigs. Whereas the dream analysis tool, the metaphor tool, and the well, a metaphor tool maybe not, but the living space tool have a very clear sort of parameters around what they're for. The thing about wigs is I don't know how it's going to turn out. You're going to start poking and coaching and playing, and you might encounter some limiting beliefs. You might encounter some resistance. I don't know. You might encounter no resistance at all, and it might just be the most, like, expansive boom, 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 turtle step, right? I don't know. So what I mostly want you to do is we're really we're dreaming and scheming. This is a true square two. And so there are no rules in this place, but we're moving from just that dreaming, but we're actually kind of focusing on the scheming. Like, we're actually making that transition with a wig. Does that make sense so far?
Sure.
And so that's just to kind of keep that in mind. The reason I was talking too with Kathy is I wanted to feel if she is really in square two. And I felt, did you feel that? Boom.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
You are too, for sure. But this one is interesting because she had both really had strong resonance for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to have fun here. And just a reminder, in your binder, if you encounter some resistance, you've got your Whizzing on Electric Fence prompts.
Mm-hmm.
You can make up whatever you want, but they're there if you need them.
Sure.
And ultimately, just we're not attached to an outcome. We don't have to have turtle steps, but we do want to explore these wildly improbable goals and see if we can get clarity for Kathy on where she wants to go with them. And I will shut up now.
Hey, Kathy, how are you doing today?
I am doing good. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, this is fun because I know we had the chance to talk a little bit about this when we were at the meet and greet. So this is really awesome. Now, you shared the two wildly improbable goals of the interior decorating and with your own goods, as well as the school activity. Given your current free time, given your kind of organization of your life right now, do you feel like you have the space to devote time and envisioning in both these areas?
Definitely. I have more time now than I've had in 25 years.
Oh, that is fantastic. So when you think about the organization of your day and really what you envision it looking like, and you think about these two different goals, what would get you really excited to do even tomorrow? What would you like to feel when you're in the creation space of this? How would that look, and what are some things you think you could do?
Of both collectively or individually?
Each one.
The interior design and my own goods, I've kind of always, that's been my therapeutic escape as being a stay-at-home mom. So
okay.
Anybody that doesn't want something, it ends up in my garage, and then one day one of those pieces becomes, mm-hmm. it takes on its own life. And it gives
okay.
me life because I energetically, you know, take a piece of furniture, let's say, and turn it into something that it wasn't. And
okay.
So a good day working in that. And some of those things are like, you know, someone will come over and say, wow, you should think about, like, you know, creating those for other people. But, you know, that's kind of always been because they've become little pieces in my house, or they're gifts for other people because it's truly an obsession. So that is a good day in that area. I just, the energy just kind of takes on its own. Once I get started, I don't really know where I'm going, and then I end up with a piece that I'm in love with, but halfway through I might hate it. I just keep going until I love it. And that might not happen in the same day, but it always, always happens. There's no such thing as a mistake. You just keep going until it becomes.
Yeah.
So that's a good day there.
Okay.
That's what a day would look like. And I've often looked, I have looked for years at brick and mortars and starting an establishment and, you know, filling it with, because my home can only take so much, filling it with those. Every time I get close, something tragic sort of happens, and it brings me back to where I'm supposed to be in life and why I'm not supposed to be there. And I've always listened to those whispers, so.
Okay.
Right now I'm still manifesting. So that's my therapeutic
thing. Sure. So you said when you get close to kind of moving this forward, something tragic happens and you feel like that is where you are supposed to be rather than taking it to the next step with your business. Can you just share a little bit more
yep.
about that?
Okay, yeah. Like, this is kind of heavy, but I'll keep it brief. But I was really manifesting
yeah.
in March 8th of 2000. I mean, I had the date and everything, and I'm a numbers person,
yeah.
so numbers were playing in. And I was very charged, and I felt very full of life and energetic, and I was ready to move forward. And there was no questions in my mind. Well, my mom had a cough, and we were getting ready to go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And my
mm-hmm.
parents always go, they've been going with us to the beach for 25 years. And
mm-hmm.
I went with her to the doctor's, and, you know, we didn't make it to the beach. And it was kind of bizarre
yeah.
because, you know, shortly before that, we had gone to a particular place that I was in love with. She was in love with the Don Cesar in St. Petersburg, beautiful place. And my parents were
yeah.
walking away from the place, getting ready to go back to their rooms. And they kind of like poofed. They kind of like disappeared out of my vision, but not really.
Yeah.
It just,
yeah.
and I looked at my husband and I said, I don't think my parents will be back here with us because I get these visions. So this particular,
yeah.
moving forward, we were going to go to the same place. And I was so excited. Because
mm-hmm.
although I really rely on my visions, if it wasn't true, I was just as happy because I wanted to go to that place because we all loved it. Well, you know, I,
yeah.
instead of going to that place almost during the time we should have been there, I ended up burying my mom.
Yeah.
So we didn't make it there, which was kind of
yeah.
bizarre because, I mean, getting excited for the trip was just as fulfilling for me as being there.
Yeah.
So that kind of derailed me. That did
yeah.
derail because here I realized my energy was stored for what was, I had gotten all, I had gotten very strong. And here I realized
yeah.
why I needed the strength. And it wasn't,
yeah.
you know, it was for that particular situation more than me branching out and being my own
yeah.
boss.
That,
so anyhow, that's an example.
And what year did you say that was in, Kathy, again? I didn't.
That was 2014, May 15th, 2014.
Okay. Since 2014 and going through that with your family and your mom, have you, it sounds like you've still had a lot of enjoyment and, like you said, therapeutic experience in creating art. So are you still really enjoying the creation process of the art? Is that really... is that one of your driving factors for continuing to put the energy into it?
Oh, absolutely. It's my drug of choice. I mean, it is like
okay.
I get in a zone and nothing can affect
mm-hmm.
me.
Awesome.
So,
and then
yeah.
when you think about becoming an interior designer and actually selling the goods, does it make you, are you excited about profiting from these goods? Or are you more excited about just sharing them with other people, or what would you like to feel from actually selling the goods?
Wow, that's a good point. No, I don't get excited at all about selling them, but I do get excited
mm-hmm.
about sharing them.
Okay. So you love the sharing, you love the creation of it. You love it that you're taking something that you're refurbishing from the dumpster and turning it into something beautiful. You spoke about brick and mortar, like actually having a business. How does that look to you? Does that look to you like being in a store selling, or what would that vision of being in the brick and mortar look like?
That, what does that vision? That looks like, well, I get to do what I love to do. I get to decorate a place with my stuff
mm-hmm.
and share it with others. But I
okay.
don't necessarily, I've never seen myself at the counter selling. I'm always, like, not in that mode. That would be, like,
okay.
not me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now,
it would be fun because there's energy.
Sure. Go ahead.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
Oh, that's it? Great. So when you have the goal to have your own line of goods, is there a profit goal behind it, or is it just enough profit so you can operate a store and share your things? Do you have a vision around how you would like to experience this from a financial standpoint?
You know what, Nikki, I really don't. I'm a total right-brainer, so financial stuff
yeah.
and ledgers and numbers and all that stuff really, it messes with my head. and I would give that to someone else. So I never look at that part of it because I'm always in the I'm always coming from a different place.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Obviously, eventually it would come into play, but I have people in my life that are complete left brainers that are really good at what they do.
Yeah.
So I would leave that up to them, and then I would just let the energy take us.
Sure. So I'm writing some notes, and what I'm feeling is that this is an opportunity for you to truly express yourself, to create things that you are completely in love with and recycle what you see that isn't being used in its full entirety of its life. And you get to share that, and you get to explore it, and you get to meet people through it. And I know just talking with you before, such an electric personality, and you want to share your love and your passion. But when it comes to some of the logistics and the finances, you're like, not really where you want to play. If you were to think about a next step here, given what you love in those different activities, what would feel right for you?
See, this is where my second tug comes into play because, you know, I have a foster child that came to us late in life as far as, like, he was 17, not late in life at all for him.
Oh,
he's only 23 now. But later as far as it wasn't a young child. And he was a hockey player on our team, fell in love with him, and unfortunately, you know, he was in a foster group home, and it was just a really heavy place, and we were able to get him kind of into our home and stuff, and right now I visit him in prison. He's you know, things didn't go well. He was used to living on the streets, and he got himself in trouble on the streets, which so I see him, and I see the transformation of sort of a, you know, I don't want to say unkept, but no one kept, you know, he wasn't taken care of properly. And I see him transforming into, you know, physically, emotionally, and just spiritually, he's, this experience, as bad as it has been, has saved his life.
Okay.
So I kind of look at him, and this, if he were in a situation when he was younger where he felt cared for, like the after school activity place, you know, it could have transformed his life and he could be on a different path, which I believe that's happening now. But that's how it kind of, they kind of tie into each other. Like, it's sort of the same, but one's dealing with stuff and one's dealing with people.
Sure. So I feel like there's a lot of emotion around the foster child and your relationship with him. Does it feel like if you were to concentrate on one area, it could more so be the after-school activities, given the passion you have for helping children in this area? Or is that, tell me where I'm wrong. Does that, because I'm feeling so much passion
there.
No,
definitely. You're on.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're wrong.
Yeah,
you're right.
In the school activity. And when you think of school activity, so after school activities, what does that vision look like to you? Does that look like something you're creating on your own or partnering with, or what would the activities look like and be?
It would look like where kids that don't have the opportunity to go home after school and, you know, don't have a niche like that. Like, my kids always came home after school, and first half an hour was we sat and talked and hors d'oeuvres, and everybody talked about the day, and, you know, and then we kind of geared for what we wanted out of the night, and then the neighborhood started piling in, and the activity was high, and there was laughter and excitement, and I see that. I see it kind of non-traditional, more like, you know, more like a cocoon.
So not like sports or we help you with your homework, more like somewhere people can go, these maybe, does it feel right to say teenager, or is there an age range that you're looking at specifically for the activity center?
No, I sometimes see young kids because I wrote a children's book and I talk in schools, and there's a lot of young kids that aren't being listened to. So I do sort of see it at a younger age.
Okay.
Yeah, because it seems like you could be more beneficial younger, the younger.
Okay.
Okay, so let me just pause for a moment.
Oh, go ahead.
This is Jessica. I just want to check in because I'd like to do that. So I just want you to remember to, before you get too deep into building a vision with her,
mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely clear how Kathy wants to feel in creating this. And the other part I'd love to hear from you, Kathy, is how do you want these kids to feel in this program? Mm. Because I think both are, they may be very different. How you want to feel and how you want them to feel may be different. They may be the same. I don't know. But I'd like you to just pause here for a moment with me, Nikki and Kathy.
Yeah.
Spend time there, because what I'm feeling already is driving towards a vision, and I'm not clear on the feeling. So let's just pause there. Could you tell me, Kathy, how you want to feel, and then just let's spend a moment there first.
Okay. How I would want to feel, or how I'd want the kids to feel.
Yeah, how do you want to feel, just you for now, creating this after-school activity? If you prefer, we can focus on the kids first.
If we focus on the kids first, because I feel like my feelings kind of spawn off of theirs, I want them to feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Safe.
And I want them to feel the way I was able to feel growing up, which I felt safe. And I felt loved, and I felt honored and listened to, and I want them to have the opportunity, if they don't have that, to feel that.
So safe, loved, honored, and heard. Anything else?
Yeah.
I want them to feel valuable.
Great. Okay. So do you see why I paused there, Nikki? Because it gives...
Oh, yeah.
We needed to slow it down just a moment
mm-hmm.
so that we could feel that. I don't know if you remember me from the meet and greet. I kept doing this up and down motion, sort of the from spirit down into body, the ka-thunk, you know, it's like chunk right in. I felt it just then. And I want you to make sure you have time for you to feel it and for your client. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because Kathy, when she was talking about what she wanted for the kids, it really, she said she wanted them to be heard. And I felt that, but when she says safe and loved and valuable, I think those were a lot of description words that lead us in a very aligned direction, so we can step into this even deeper and further.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit more to work with than just safe, because there's a lot more description there. Because here's the truth, is that she can start creating that today and has, because through her foster son. We don't have to wait until there's this big production that happens. There are ways to create that now. And she's already started, but I want part of our job. Sorry, Kathy, I'm giving you we're making sausage behind the scenes. But part of what we're trying to do is show them how that's already happening. So cool. So you can proceed now. Part of what I want to make sure you do is just because I feel your excitement and your energy is mounting. I would love for you to just slow it down just a little bit, mostly for me, so I can keep track.
Sure.
No, I think it actually, what happens is we get so engaged and so enthused, there's a value in slowing it down a little bit so we can keep building on the feeling state. So, all right, that's
great. Great. All right. Kathy, so you talked about how you wanted the kids to feel safe, loved, listened to, honored, and valuable. How do you want to feel on a day-to-day basis within this realm of helping children?
When I get joyful, I cry. So that would bring me, it's like good tears. I'm a crier all the way around. Yeah. But I would feel joyful because, I liked the feeling I had as a kid growing up, and I liked what I was able to offer my kids. And I hate to think that someone else got robbed of that opportunity
Sure. And how exactly did you feel as a child that made you feel so good when you think about connecting with your family?
I just always felt safe, and I never wanted to be anywhere other than where I was at. I mean, mm-hmm. I never had questions. I just, I was happy.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you've had a foster child before and you've been visiting him now. How did you feel fostering him, or have you fostered kids in the past?
No, I have not fostered kids in the past. How did I feel fostering him? It was dicey because, I was bringing, so to speak, a troubled child into my kid's world and opening up my house. But again, I felt like it was an appointment, and I just always go where the energy takes me. And, there were some major bumps in the road. He had a hard time adjusting from street life to, the Waltons. Not that we're the Waltons, but it was such that extreme. And my kids, I think they gained a lot from it, but he was playing alpha with my oldest son, and it was my son's senior year, and he was captain of the hockey team and created some real turbulence. But I think in the, broad spectrum of life, it was good.
Sure. So there was a feeling of joyfulness in connecting him, but you didn't necessarily feel like the space was the most appropriate to have that feeling that you were seeking. Do you have outside of creating kind of this new activity center for children, is there a place in your life where you feel that you can really connect with other people and feel joyful and feel safe and feel like you're not questioning, like you're just really content? Where else does that show up for you?
Where do I feel content?
Where do you feel like, I think content and really this connection piece, this feeling heard and feeling joyful and feeling like you are truly connected.
Okay. When I'm doing my book, when I'm at grade school, talking to kids and using my book as a vehicle.
Okay.
That's my favorite place to be if, outside of the obvious of, life and that. Yeah.
So you're reading the book to the kids at school, and they're younger kids. Are they asking questions? Are they engaging? Kind of how does that connection work?
Right. Oh, it's real interactive. It's grades K through 8, and it's, each individual class, because it's interactive. Like, I tell the teachers if there's any live wires and kids are interrupting and they're yelling out, just don't stifle them because I want the energy, because that energy creates energy, and I want them to be excited, and I'll call on everyone. I don't care if there's 20 hands. It's just, it kind of takes on, it's a 45-minute, and really it's about the power of their own soul. And how, they're unique and there's only one of them in the whole world, kind of like their favorite toy. If there was only one of them, how important would it be? They all try and tell me, and I'm like, okay, well, that's you. And then they get that enlightened feeling of like, move forward knowing how important you are and how, So it's, and they are very up. It's like, it's a twist and turn. They don't know what's going to happen next. There's a lot of questions, and they get to answer, and it's just fun. And little kids come up to me afterwards and ask me questions, and teachers are crying, where it's kind of an emotional thing, but that's...
I like that. Yeah. So you feel the power of their souls, and I feel like that gets back to the feeling you wanted for kids of really feeling valuable and honored and heard. How often are you working in the grade schools? Like, what does that commitment look like a week?
Okay. Well, I'm not right now because, again,
okay.
so many other things kind of derailed me. I did it for years, like 4 years, and then I got pulled into running a hockey program, which I don't even know how that happened, but it was crazy and it worked, and I brought a hockey team, a senior sport to the school,
yeah.
ice hockey, and then that, you know, saw its course, and I'm kind of like doubling back, like, okay,
ah.
I feel like I'm, my appointment right now is Malcolm, that's my foster child, and you know, seeing him to a better place, and I'm feeling it, like I probably will go back to my book. You know what I mean? I'm seeing
okay.
that my time opening up and kind of this life coaching, I didn't realize when I got involved that it would be an opportunity for me to coach. I was using it for an opportunity to figure out my stuff, and it's been great. But,
so
I'm not doing it right this second.
So let's just pause again. Let's pause for a moment. So where do you want to go, Nikki? What do you want to do with?
I mean, for me, as I talk to Kathy and I'm hearing her explain what she did in grade school, and then we're kind of circling back once again to this, she has the, I'm feeling like I'm going back to the spot of I go back, I try to do something different, and then I kind of have something tragically bring me back in, and I think
right.
And now we're kind of getting back to that the story about Malcolm and the hockey and all of that. And I feel as though, once again, we're hitting a little bit of a roadblock in her doing what she really loves. And I would like to help her unleash some of those thoughts around that roadblock to help her clear some space to be able to go back into something she loves, which for me, I'm almost feeling like that could just look like going back into the grade school program without having to do something completely new. But that's my journey. I feel like I'm hitting a roadblock of thought a little bit again, and I want to help her with that and then help her connect to activities that might feel very much what she's looking for but might not necessarily be something entirely new.
Okay, so here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because that feels like a lot, because here's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Get what you're feeling. I think this is where sometimes we can get a little bit lost in the details, and I like to just kind of pull out my machete and clear, you know, like, oh, well, I can take this road all the way around, or I could just whoosh, go down the middle.
Yeah.
I'm really just curious. Kathy, do you feel it's time for your next appointment? Are you feeling like the next appointment is starting to come onto your books?
It's stirring. It's stirring, but it's not visible yet.
Okay. The meaning what? What does that mean?
You know, I don't know. Like, when I was doing hockey, I kept saying I'm ready for an appointment, and then when it was all over and I saw what that did for all of those kids, I thought, well, you dummy, you were in an appointment. You got thrown into that, and you were where you were supposed to be because it was crazy. But, you know, I kept it sane. So right now I'm kind of asking, like, I'm ready, but then I think I'm in one. It's Malcolm. So
okay.
it's always that kind of feeling. I wait for it to show up, and then sometimes I don't even realize that I'm doing it.
Got it. So do you see, Nikki, how that pretty much cut through what you were already worrying about? Is part of the reason you were feeling the hesitation is because very early square two around this. It's a stirring. It's a feeling.
Yes.
And you could use thought work, except I don't think that that's where Kathy is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's just that. Here's my suggestion. I'm just curious about what the stirring is. What does it feel like? What does it look like? I don't know. It may take you nowhere. It may be like, bah, you know, no big deal. That's my noise for today. So let it be easy for you and your client don't work so hard. You're working very hard. I can feel you. It's like I feel like you're climbing a mountain. You're like, all right, we need to have our packs. We need to have. And I'm like, just climb up the mountain, yo.
Yes. No, I. This is a good one for me to do because I am entirely inclined to action and not necessarily talking about feelings.
I picked that up. So what I'm just really curious about, Kathy, and just talk to both me and Nikki about this. What's stirring? Mm-hmm. What do you feel?
What's stirring?
Just literally right now, take a big deep breath. And I want you to go to the last time you felt the stirring.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, but I'm an extreme people person, but I find myself alone a lot. And I think it's because the stillness is necessary because I'm always, I like chaos. I like happy chaos, laughter, kids, people, parties, gatherings. And then all of a sudden it's very quiet and I'm thinking, well, that's because it's stirring and I have to get quiet to hear the whispers.
So boom.
So that's where I'm.
This is very different than the approach that you were working on. Sorry to interrupt, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why action is the opposite prescription that we will give for Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
So because it makes a lot of sense, because what she wants to create, this is sort of the irony or the paradox of creation is that we often have to stop and simply be for a while. The liminal space where the dew gathers, where the pot boils, we think nothing is happening, and yet we're transforming right then. And the challenge for us as coaches is not to force the boil, because we can't, not to force the dew, because we can't, but to help our client create the space for the listening.
Mm. Yeah.
So what would that look like, do you think, for you, Kathy? How can you facilitate listening as a practice for the stirring? Like, how can you create space to allow for this next appointment, really just to be more mindful of it this time?
Right. It kind of happens, like right now it's happening organically because, you know, my husband travels extensively and my kids are all, you know, they're 23, 21, and 19, that's not their names, but they're really starting to take on their own, you know, individual lives. And I'm a housewife, so and my house is my sanctuary, so I can be still here very easily.
Okay, so can you be specific on how to help? Like, what would stillness actually look like? It might actually even be you creating your
pieces.
Your interior goods, yeah.
Right. That
is
kind
it,
of
I don't know.
Plays into it. It plays into it, and that's even weird, too, because, like, one day I will just all of a sudden have the energy that it's like I'm creating something today. Like, even that is something that comes to me in a wave. I don't, like, plan it. It kind of plans me. And I love it because when I get in that zone, it's therapeutic. So I do a lot of journaling, and I don't know, I just somehow it just comes to me, like it just happens. I don't know how to make it. I have never done it differently. I've always just been led there.
So I don't think being led there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear, I don't think this is a problem we need to create. The question is, what is it that you really want? Do you want to have it, you know, where are you struggling with it, if at all?
I think the only struggle I have is the element of time. I think I rush the anxiousness of, like I say, when's my next appointment? When I think, wait a minute, you're in one. I think I'm always thinking outside of where I'm at, and I'm a big we're in the moment person, like stay in the moment. I love being in the moment because I never want them to move on to the next and you don't get it back. But saying that, I'm always thinking, what, you know, where do you want me to be? And, you know, am I listening and am I getting this right? And, yeah, so I guess I'm, you know, Malcolm will be coming home here in a few months. So I don't know if I'm putting like a, you know, a real date down where, you know, I won't be, I mean, let's face it, I don't really like going to a prison. And every time I go, it's like a crazy experience. I make it. And I was, one time I was sent away 3 times because I didn't have the right clothes on. And I got my Irish up and I just kept coming back in a different outfit. I think they finally thought, you know, let's just let her go in. But, it's just it's a trial in humility. You know, I try and talk him on how to handle where he's at. And then I get there and I'm a mess. It's such a trying.
Here's what I'm hearing. Is how can we help you make the most of this particular appointment
mm-hmm.
while creating space for the other appointment to arrive without pressure? Tell me where I'm
at. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Nikki, any thoughts on that?
No, that feels really good because as I was going through the discussion with Kathy, we came to Malcolm and we kept coming back to him. And I feel very strongly as you talk that there is a processing and there is a element of getting really comfortable in this appointment and yes, getting still and getting ready for the next, but not necessarily expecting it to be on any sort of a timeline, if you will.
Yeah, no forcing. But really being present enough in the moment. So here's the interesting thing is I feel like this is going to probably feel counter, but here's what I feel like wants to happen right now is I want to leave you with that question, Kathy.
Okay.
How can I make the most of this appointment and allow enough space for stillness so that the other appointment can really begin to form without pressure? So I'd love if you just wrote down, how can I make the most of this appointment and how can I allow more space for stillness?
Okay.
And I don't want you to do anything. And I don't know. I just feel like the very nature of this question is begging stillness to be answered.
Mm.
Now, I would suggest you and Nikki can follow up later to because it sounds like you guys are already, you have a lot of really great background happening here. Nikki, here's my caution for you. Watch your doing, your desire to do.
Mm.
And help.
Yeah.
You can brainstorm ideas on how to make the most of this appointment. My suggestion for most of the homework is going to be around stillness.
Mm.
Maybe doing this, walking Kathy through the 7 league boots with the question of how can I make the most of Malcolm, you know, of my time with Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
This appointment. Dropping that question. Walking her into the visualization of the 7 league boots, really asking for the intention, mm-hmm. and then doing dream analysis on the results as it pertains to the question you went in with.
Mm, okay.
It's a very nice form of, it's not pure stillness, but it's a way to kind of calm the thinking, troubleshooting mind.
Mm. Yes.
Wow. And I like that.
Do a session with pure metaphor. Do a visualization. See what comes up. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
this is too early in square two to really do much more than that.
Mm.
It's a very liminal space.
Good.
And then check back in, you know, on the forum with us and let us know how it goes.
Sure. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you for touching.
That's wigs. sort of. So Kathy, how was that for you?
That was wonderful.
Cool. Good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Any feedback for me or for Nikki? Anything you want us to know?
Well, yeah. You know, at the beginning, my heart was like crazy beating out of my chest when I was asked the question about the two, you know, situations. And right, and then I got emotional, which that's me. But right now, my heart is I just feel very relaxed.
Yeah, that's what happens when we bring desire and sort of our dreams, our yearnings up for examination, is that it can become a very fraught kind of moment. It's like, oh my God, I have to talk about that. I got to answer this. Where it's going to be put, right? There's a whole level of sort of emotionality that encircles us. And what happens is as we talk, and I could feel your, I don't want to say anxiety, but your energy come up when we started doing very practical stuff. And then I could feel you come back into yourself when we kind of took the pressure off of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely subtle. And Nikki, I'd love for you to listen to it. And I was just kind of tracking and listening, because this is the way wigs go, is it's just kind of like, oh, it's a meander, it's a wander.
Mm.
But just go back and listen to when the energy, you know, when you would kind of put the fire on.
Mm. Yeah.
Listen for underneath your client's, you know, for your client's energy. And again, this is very subtle. I'm not trying to say you did anything wrong at all. Quite the contrary. But just listen, because that's where the answer is. It's like, okay, well then what does it feel like if we take the pressure off?
Mm-hmm.
Energy settles. Boom. Okay. We got to stay here with our client right now.
Yeah.
Did you feel that at all?
Oh, I felt that. And I had kind of a, I don't know if it's specifically a mirror neuron thing, but I was pushing myself into action in the last few weeks. And it was progressively feeling worse and worse in my body. And I learned through pushing Kathy more towards action that I was doing the same thing that I had did to myself. And when you told me to slow down, I was realizing that there's so much more power in slowing down than I thought there was.
Yeah, remember the chaplaining exercise we did at the meet and greet, which was you sat shoulder to shoulder and you just listened? That is slowing down sometimes. And that doesn't mean that you're not coaching at that point. It means that you're fully present. And again, we didn't have you listen for like 10 minutes. It was, what, 2 to 3?
Yeah.
That's a form of slowing yourself down and then giving your client a chance. Because kind of what happens is they'll run out of steam. And that's when you know it's time to come back in and like wrangle it. So the other thing I noticed, too, is it was interesting. I'm going to guess you're going to probably be a very powerful square three coach, because you started getting in there with the questions. You were like, what about profit? How does that feel? Right? You were like weighing all the options. And that's great.
Yeah.
The key then is to be like, whoa, how am I feeling in my body? Because I kept feeling you go faster and faster. Again, it's very subtle. Other people may not have noticed it, but I felt you get more and more revved. And that's when I was like, ooh, let's take our foot off the gas here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, honestly, I think you do a great job. You're a great facilitator. You're enthusiastic. You're sympathetic. You're kind. You're not pushy. You're not bossy, but you're still a strong, powerful leader. So kudos to you for really showing up authentically today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because this was a tricky one. Not in the sense that you, Kathy, are tricky, but really because you're in far more of a liminal space than you perhaps even recognized. Of course, tell me where I'm wrong.
What kind of space am I in?
liminal, the in-between, the, you know,
oh,
you
yeah.
can't quite see what's coming in front of you, but the road right. behind you kind of washed out. So you can't go back, but the way forward hasn't fully formed.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely where I'm at.
Because there's this discomfort in being where you are and this need to not be there. Like, it's like, oh, I can't be in this space for too long.
Right.
And exactly. Except exactly where you are and exactly where you need to be.
Well, good. That feels good to know.
All right. Good. Any questions?
And thanks, Nikki.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Thanks, Kathy. I'll be in touch.
Okay, great.
Good. So any questions?
This is Tiffany. I have a question.
Sure. My 10 quick start.
I know. I feel like I'm really struggling with being able to identify what square people are in.
So what square do you mm-hmm. think that when it comes to sort of what Kathy calls appointments, which is really a calling
mm-hmm.
and sort of her life's work, what square do you think she is in?
Currently?
Yep. This very moment.
Okay, just give me a second.
Yeah, talk it through if you want.
Okay, square. I'm trying to think the mantra for square one, and I can't remember it.
I don't know what the hell's going on, and that's okay.
That's okay. Well, I guess there's some.
This is a tricky one because I'm gonna tell you, I think she's between squares. She's. So there's, if you go back to, and I'd love for you all to do this, go back to finding your own North Star. Martha talks about the threshold between square one and square two. And there is, it's actually, I think there are thresholds between all of them, but this one's particularly potent. She calls it the threshold where it's like basically do nothing. And this is the one that people hate the most.
Mm.
Because... and I'm going to share a poem with you by John O'Donohue that describes this place perfectly. But like, you don't know where you're going yet, but you know you're going there. You just can't. It's like this is that's the liminal space. It's the space in between. Something is percolating. Something is moving, but it hasn't become clear yet. It's usually the place people are most uncomfortable to be. And so there's a need. So the wig, it doesn't mean she doesn't know where she doesn't, like Kathy has a pretty clear sense of how she wants to feel and knows kind of where she wants to go. But this appointment right now is very uncomfortable for her. And so there's also a little bit of that decoy of like, oh, I'm going to dream about the future so I can avoid the present. And of course, Kathy, tell me where I'm wrong and all that.
Wow. I mean, that's really good. I wouldn't have thought of it like that. Because I always feel like I'm present, but yeah, do I want to be in a prison? No. So
I'm in a jail
scary.
Every Friday, so I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you because I work.
Oh, yeah. So how do you feel that way walking in? Like,
I
oof,
don't.
Intense.
Don't.
You don't.
I don't. I'll talk to you about
you
it
wouldn't.
Though. Cause, yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you how I got over it. So the thing is like. If you don't know, Tiffany, it might be because your client is in a threshold space.
Okay.
Or they might be decoying, or you know, they might seem like they're really like, oh, yeah, I got all these big dreams. But then you start working with them, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of work we need to do dissolving some beliefs here.
Hmm.
So you might be part of the facilitation, the transformation, the catalytic event that brings them back into sort of dissolving again.
Okay.
So do you see now why you might be feeling a little confused as to where Kathy was?
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Cool. Any other questions about anything?
This is Linda. I am realizing that, sorry about this siren out there, I'm realizing that the tool Living on the Electric Fence, I'm not sure where that's described. Is it those four questions that are mentioned in our, okay, so Living on the Electric Fence, it consists of, if I didn't care what people thought, I would, if I were sure I'd succeed, I would.
If I had the nerve, cool. I would. If I had the freedom, I would. I'll tell you, you can use that Whizzing on Electric Fences with the Ideal Day tool as well.
Okay.
Which.
Got it.
So you can use it with, there's another tool in the back called the Interview Game, which is kind of like the Ideal Day. You can use it with people who, once you actually start moving them into action, or if you're trying to get them to kind of loosen up some of the rules of their mind, you can start using that. I actually have used that with a client who had a really clear sense of, you know, vision, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, and then got so in her head and so stuck. It had so many stinking excuses. I was like, oh, I could feel myself just shutting down, like, not again. And so what I did is I just brought it back. It's like, okay, so-and-so, if you didn't care what people thought, what would you do? And she got so mad at me but was so relieved because she knew then it was just a matter of you know, we needed to get in there and disbelieve some stuff again. You know, her lizard was rearing its ugly head. You'll know. You'll feel someone just immediately put the brakes on a dream, and you'll be like, okay, hold on. Because all of the language there is about feeling. If I didn't care what people thought, freedom. If I were sure I'd succeed, freedom. Right? It's all about a feeling state. Does that make sense, Linda?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's why it's one of my favorite ones, because it's like, the rules in your head do not match the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
This is Rachel, and I did have a question, like, about our Colby. So we I think a lot of us did post our Colby assessment. And,
yeah.
How did that play into how we are as a coach, or who we attract? Is that part of what is that a discussion we'll have maybe later, or is that?
The Colby was really about how you take action. So it's helpful sometimes to know, Liz, do I have it up? I don't have it up anymore. What was yours real quick, Rachel?
I think it was 2494.
So quick start.
It's StockFinder 2, follow through 4, quick start 9, implementator 4.
Yeah. So that's really helpful to know how you take action, because if I were to suggest that as a quick start for you to start playing with your wig and start exploring and looking at taking action around, like, your turtle step, like what I might propose, doing research for you would probably be like a real downer.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching out and having a conversation with someone might be a lot more fun for you. But, like, looking on the internet, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Or put it out in the world, see what happens. Might be a really great, we might focus our action on really to complement your conative style.
Okay. So how our clients take.
Yeah. And it's good for you to know, too, because, I mean, live it to give it. So knowing how you take action is really powerful, because if your clients are really, and you can feel like they're a super high fact finder follow through, telling them to quick start something might be like you're asking them to murder somebody. So against how they do things. It's like an affront to their very nature that you'd want them to go talk to a stranger at a coffee shop. Like, what? I'm offended just thinking about it. But it's true. I mean, I don't know if you guys have had this class yet, but one of the tools that we've given you, it's like for your business building, is the 3-2-1 tool. Have you had that one yet?
3-2-1.
I feel like we have talked about it.
I do too.
Makes my skin crawl just talking about it. Because it's a quick start tool, which is you have, I think you write 3 emails. Right.
Oh, yeah, we did do that.
Oh, and then one to have, like, one in-person conversation. And I'm so offended by that that I'm like, no, because I'm a really high fact finder. And the thought of, like, to me that's a really high quick start tool, which is, like, go immediately take action. Because completely counter to how I do. Because I'm all about mitigating risk. I'm all about making sure I feel safe and that I have enough information so I don't feel dopey. Whereas, you know, a high quick start, Tiffany, she's like, who do you want me to call? Oh, let me get it. Let's go. Maybe not. I don't know. But, like, the way Tiffany takes action and the way I – because Tiffany, you're a 10 and I'm a 6 quick start. So I need enough information before I take action, whereas Tiffany, you probably are like, you just need to know who to call or what to do next. Like, I remember, like, you signing up for the LCT was like, boom, I'm done, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Or if you're like
that,
me, Kristen, I'm ambidextrous.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I have fact finder and quick start equally at 7.
That can actually be really hard. I know a few folks that have that, and sometimes they struggle. Is that hard for you at all? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's a push-pull.
Yeah, it is. It's a push-pull. Knowing that, Rachel, about your client is very powerful because you know how to help navigate them through the push-pull of that. Help them remember they're not crazy. Well, they might be, but in this instance, they're not crazy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Rachel?
That absolutely does, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, cool. Thank you for reminding me. We always have so much crammed into this practicum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wherever you guys need to go, we go. Any other questions before I let you go for our very last?
Well,
so I just want to share that with wigs, some wig conversations are going to be very much immediately moving into turtle steps. They're going to be far enough along, and you're going to know pretty quickly. And I don't know if you guys could tell, but, like, I started knowing pretty quickly that Kathy just wasn't really into that the latter half of square two yet. She was still very much at the beginning. And so you can tell because the way Nikki asked questions, it was a lot of digging, trying to understand. If you're doing that much digging, you'll know more quickly next time. They're just not there yet. But you kind of have to go through the digging to know what it feels like when you're trying to have a client be where they are. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like you kind of have to know what it feels like to hit resistance first. So some of your clients, you might start exploring a wig, and you'll be like, holy shit, and it'll probably be a quick start when you do it. But there'll be this really fast sort of, oh, yeah, I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly how I want to feel. And I know, and then you guys can very quickly come up with the next step. In other ones, you can use the wig to find out that the client's not there yet, and you can let them help them be where they are. Because ultimately, that's what we do as coaches, is we meet our clients where they are. It's not always the answer we want when we're coaching. We love to have a good template or framework to work with. I certainly do. But sometimes, as a fact finder, you know the answer. It all depends. any final questions, comments? All right.
Thank you very much, I wanted to say. I feel like your classes have been very engaging.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are,
for sure.
You know,
I agree.
Huge part of that equation. Thank you for being so easy to engage with. Here's the thing is you're going to start coaching more and more and things are going to crop up. A metaphor tool goes awry. Kristen still needs someone to coach her on the metaphor tool, so somebody better step up and volunteer or I'll cry for her. Not to be bossy or directive, but come on. So I'm going to post that on the forum. Hopefully one of you can reply there, but I just want to know, like, tell me what happens as you're coaching, and I don't know if I have any more classes with you, but if I don't, this was such a pleasure. It was so fun to meet so many of you in person. And Kathy, why don't you email me at jsteward, S-T-E-W-A-R-D, at marthabeck.com, and I will talk to you about working in the jail.
All righty. I will do that. Thanks so much, Jess. You
so
definitely are in where you need to be in life. You've been helpful for me, and I know everyone. But okay, I will email you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Big love to you guys, and I will hope to connect with you in the everyone at the limited, but probably more engaging in class sometime in the future. So talk soon and take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Big hug.
Bye.
Hug, 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 hug.
Bye.